A fair and comely creature, as e'er was framed by nature, lived in the West, and the glory of the same, her maiden life and carriage, until her day of marriage, I of it needs must write unto her lasting fame. Most gallants did admire her beauty with desire, to enjoy her company, and her virtues for to try. But alas, poor fools, their labor was in vain, the glory of the West they never yet could stain. Your courting and your compliments, she'd say, is not the way to win me, I longer mean to stay. Perhaps you may admire and have a great desire to know why she was called the glory of the West. Then give but time and leisure, and to fulfill your pleasure, her virtues here shall fully be expressed. She was proper, tall, and comely, no parts about her homely. She had not rolling eye, nor never used uncivility, but an amorous, sweet, and lovely, piercing sight. Her cheeks and her lips was pure red and white. Her other parts can better be expressed by him that now enjoys the glory of the West. So rare she was and witty, they called her famous Betty. Not far from Bristol, this gallant spark did live. Her father was a cavalier and lost his life in service there. Her mother was grown poor, and no portion could her give, which made those gallants think that she would soon yield up her honesty. Quoth they, will venture her royal for to enter, but all the time they spent, alas, it was in vain. The glory of the West they never yet could stain. Quoth she, you are deceived, 'tis not my poverty shall ever make me yield to your uncivility. My virgin's life I'll keep, quoth she, until such time that man I see, which I can affect, and choose him for my mate. When that gallant once I find, that to virtues is inclined, and I can but fancy him, I care not for estate. If a royal heart he bear, and can love a cavalier, that same promise he must make, for my noble father's sake, which lost his life and fortunes in the field, and to no other side my maidenhead I'll yield. If that he be a cavalier, though he be ne'er so poor, I'll love him, I'll serve him, and honor him the more. Give ear and listen to my song, and I shall tell you ere be long how she hath obtained a husband to her mind, a usurer that lived hard by, left his son when he did die, great sums of money with goods and land behind. That youngster, hearing of this girl, vowed if either gold or pearl would this damsel's favor win, then he weighed it not a pin. Hang money, quoth he, my gold I will let fly. My father, he is dead, I have enough lie by. A conceit I have now comes into my breast, which I hope shall obtain the glory of the West. A kinsman poor I have, quoth he, shall make up this same match for me, and 100 pounds on him I will bestow. He is a comely youth and young, and knows well how to use his tongue, and he will obtain her for me, I do know. So forth he set this youngster brave with money, and what else he'd have, for to try his utmost skill, to obtain this maid's goodwill. Spare not, quoth he, 'tis no matter what you spend. Do the best you can, and be faithful to your friend. That I will, says he, but mark now the jest. He cozened his kinsman of the glory of the West. When first he came unto this maid, with courteous words he to her said, fair damsel, I must court you in my kinsman's name. His father being of his life bereft, great means behind him he hath left, and now this youngster enjoyeth all the same. Which on you he will bestow, if you please it shall be so. Sir, you have spoken enough, quoth he, he's but a fool, I plainly see. Do you present his person, and let him keep his gold. Now you have your answer, that riddle pray unfold. Your riddle, fair mistress, I quickly understand. My person and my service shall be at your command. This gallant damsel fair and bright, in whom so many took delight, with this prodigal's kinsman was taken so in love, which when he did perceive and see, he slipped no opportunity, but cozened his cousin, as afterward did prove. Sweetheart, quoth he, I am poor indeed, which made me fearful to proceed, but what I want in welfare made shall be in love and service paid. Speak no more, quoth she, few words I like the best. If you can love a cavalier, no more shall be expressed. Sweet soul, saith he, 'tis known both far and near, I have lost all I had for being a cavalier. These lovers being united, his kinsman was invited over to her house, and he thought to get the lass. But sure a fool he needs must be, when once he did the mistressy, to marry with her maid, as after comes to pass. Quoth she unto this prodigal, now you have obtained all by your kinsman's means, quoth she. Pray, sweetheart, tell to me what you will bestow upon him for his pain. My maid he would marry if a portion he could gain. He, hearing of her words, drew forth a purse of gold, and said, sweetheart, content him as long as it will hold. 500 pounds is it, said he, the rest I freely give to thee. A ring likewise he bought her, and a femme. One thing of you, quoth she, I crave, our love so secret I would have. I would not have it blazed abroad about. So for that time he went away until the appointed marriage day, where in private they did meet at a church in Bristol Street, and there his kinsmen served him like a clo'. The missus wore the maid's clothes, the mistress had her maiden bravely dressed. This fool he did take her for the glory of the West. They veils before their faces had, so eager was this simple lad. In all the haste he married needs must be. Which being done, his kinsman led his mistress unto him, said, this maid you must give me, which he did. His gold he freely gave away, and his mistress too, I say, but yet he had enough beside his ring, his gown likewise a bride. It was too much for such a fool as he, for to maintain a kinsman his suitor for to be. The clown got the bride that was so bravely dressed, but his kinsman bore away the glory of the West. So from the church away they went. This clown at first was well content, thinking he had married with the glory of the West. So homewards then he went apace, he never looked upon her face, but took her for her mistress, she was bravely dressed. His kinsman and his pretty mate went smiling after ink and scene, thinking what the fool would say when their veils were took away. 'Tis no matter what he said, they had his money got. The maid and the gown, it seems, fell to his lot. I ne'er before did hear of such a pretty jest as here was brought about by the glory of the West. Brave gallants went to meet her, and kindly they did greet her, but thinking to salute the glory of the West, they were struck with admiration to see such alteration, but plucking off their veils, they soon perceived the This youngster, when he did behold, he had lost his mistress and his gold. Faith, I might have looked, quoth he, before that I had leapt so free. But now the proverb you may plainly see, marriage and hanging goes by destiny. Thus unto you I freely have expressed the wit and behavior of the glory of the West. This song a warning well may be to young men when they do it see, if once they go a-wooing, not to trust another. And maids, if they this song will learn, good from bad they may discern, and this girl's behavior they may choose above all other. This couple is most brave, they say, in Bristow at this present day, ever since they did agree, both in peace and unity. She never yet would give him cause of strife. I do wish that every man could say so by his wife. Young men and maids, this song I sent, so the glory of the West now bids you.